Welcome to the Friday night Inner Space Talk. If we want to relieve stress, release emotions, diffuse anger, increase focus, as well as improve our health, the solution literally lies in our breath. Have you ever considered using your breath purposefully to optimize your health? Our speaker tonight is going to share with us how to integrate breathwork exercises into our lives to energize our health. Craig Gordon is joining us from Florida. Craig has taught dance around the world to people who may be novices, to TV stars. He's worked in nursing homes with residents and as well as heads of state. Craig teaches meditation, breathwork and yoga. Craig's going to speak now for roughly 40 minutes and do a short guided visualization exercise with us. After that, you'll be taking your questions. Craig, thank you. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Arti. Just a little math to start with. How long can a person live without eating? Well, give or take, let's say 30 days. We can go up to 30 days without eating. How about water? How long can I go without water? Well, again, approximately, let's say 3 days. So from food, 30 days, water, 3 days. And how long can you live without breath? Say 3 minutes. So look at the importance of it. 3 minutes for breath, 3 days for water, 30 days for food. It's nowhere even close. But now if I examine how I think about these things, for the breath is 14,000 times more important than food in terms of survival. And do I think like that? Do I put more attention? Do I put the proper ratio of attention into my breath rather than my food? If you're like me, no, you don't. We're thinking about what we eat, how it tastes, and then the water. So maybe we could start to think about it in a different way and see the significance. And since I'm breathing 25,000 breaths per day, perhaps I can find a little more benefit in having a more skilled, a more adept method of breathing. So that's what we're going to cover today. What we will do and what we won't do, we'll probably practice like a few different types of breathing, but what we won't do is go into deeply and all the different types of breath, because you could go on YouTube and there'll be hundreds, if not more, of well put together breathing exercises that you can follow. This is more of a generalization of how breath can help you in your life, not just to become an expert at breathing or however you want to call it, but how to have a more optimal life through proper breathing. So let's start breath number one, just breathing. As always, posture is important because you want the system to not have to struggle any more than necessary. So let's just sit as straight as you can and in a relaxed position. And let's just breathe. And the kind of the key words here are deep, full, slow. And not no instruction, but except this, breathe through the nose. So let's keep the lips just closed lightly. And using the nose, let's do 8 deep breaths. Just in and out, no instruction at all. Just what you think a full breath is. Don't be shy about it, actually do it. Couple more. That will do for now. Just breathing. So what does breath do? Well, of course, we need it to stay alive. But another way to look at it is you have your inner world, the one in which you live, and you're thinking and experiencing life. And then there's this outer world that we're all dealing with. And breath is the one activity you can do which brings and connects the outer and the inner together. Because you're literally taking in air from the outside world, and your body knows how to take that oxygen, takes the oxygen and sends it all through your body. It's really a science of breath. And then, of course, we can see the value of it. And there's a lot of books. In fact, I just saw like 3 or 4 new books on breathing come out that's being very popular. We have the term pranayama. Those of you who have practiced any form of yoga will be familiar with that term pranayama, which it just means practice of the breath in general terms. It's one of the limbs of the traditional hatha yoga practice. You know, we normally think of it as the postures or the asanas, but breath is what we're really doing. And my career has been in dancing, but through time, I discovered yoga, hatha yoga, as a means of healing myself from the injuries in the profession, because dancing is quite stressful on the body. And even though it's a beautiful thing, it's sometimes abusive to the body. Whereas yoga is very enabling. It gives health to the body and it's healing. And I actually healed all my little injuries through practicing yoga. And so then just got more and more into it. And of course, just started transitioning into teaching yoga as a means, because I know how beneficial that is for me. And then it's going to be likewise for everyone else. I never took a yoga class till I was 50. And it's been a beautiful journey and it's great. But one of the things about teaching yoga is it is not really about the postures themselves. It's about the energy. And so the energy is really through the breath. You're taking energy in through the breath and combined with these postures that help to open up some of the, maybe the areas that are haven't been getting attention or that are locked up, it starts to work on you. And things open up and people, that's why people are so into it now, is because they can feel such a difference in their lives that the postures or the practice of yoga. But what I'm trying to get across is that the base of all that really is the breath. It's the breath combined with the postures. So as I often say to class, it's going to be an hour or an hour and a half of breathing class accompanied by postures. And of course, if you're just into breathing, people wouldn't get into that. So they need the postures to get into it. But here we're just focused on what is breath? How does that help me? What does breath do? Breath connects the inner to the outer. We find ourselves inundated by our environment, whether it you call it stress or boredom or duty, whatever the things are, all these things are compiling upon us and applying pressure to us. And we find ourselves under the influence. So the inner being is becoming influenced by the outer world. And when I just put it in that sense, the inner being is influenced by the outer world, I'm saying to myself, that doesn't sound right. Because the events that are happening, whatever they are temporary in nature. They have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And when I think about on the inner, well, I'm not so temporary. I've always been, you know, what I know of this life, I've always been. And many people on the spiritual path see themselves as an eternal being. You know, like matter is neither created nor destroyed. and everything is light. You know, light and matter are both the same thing. So we are light, and so spirit can't be destroyed either. Just something to think about. Don't listen to what I tell you. As I often say to people, don't believe anything I tell you, but don't disbelieve anything I tell you either. But instead, trust your intuition to be able to discern truth from falsehood. So we're just taking this idea about a temporary thing from the outside, an event having such power over me. And we go through this every day. Oh, it's cloudy. I don't feel so good. Oh, it's hot. It's like 36 degrees Celsius. That's very hot. And it affects, of course. So I have to take care. So here's another grammar secret that I've learned. Instead of the word cautious, you know, or caution, that kind of gives a sense of being afraid. And even being careful is makes me kind of like I have to be aware and I'm not really at ease. But just change the syllables around. Instead of careful, be full of care. And so I'm full of care. I'm full of care for what's coming into me. I take care. I'm full of care that whether it's my breath, which we're going to concentrate on, but even my thoughts, the food that comes in, the water, as I spoke about the relationship of food and water and breath, am I living in such a way where these things are in their proper ratio? No. Can I improve? Yes. Is it a long time before I'm successful? Yes. So let's play it as a game. Let's enjoy this process of learning to breathe. Just taking breath today is one aspect of this overarching thing that I'm talking about self-transformation. You see many times if you watch the different videos of people who have a particular thing that they do, you can go all in. And whether it's the postures of yoga, and you can stand on your head, you can put a foot behind your head, anything you want to do, but it's taking it to extreme. And it's not really the purpose of it. It's an overall thing of personal transformation, not about excelling in one aspect. And the same with breathing. We don't need to become an expert at all the breathing things. I need to see that the breathing is a vehicle. It's a vehicle for me, for my self-evolution, my self-transformation, what I call to have optimal living, or as I was thinking with the other day, a flawless golden life. That's really what we'd all like, is to have a flawless, meaning no troubles, and a golden life, not one that's full of alloy. And that's where we're starting. And so what I recognize is that I'm full of alloy, and I'd like to change that, but how do I do that? Well, breathing is part of this process. It helps me to get there. Can I meditate and have transformation without concentrating on breathing? Yes, you can. It's very possible. Will breathing help? Yes. Will breathing make it easier? Yes. So everyone, whether you are a person that sits at home and does no physical exercise, no matter what age you are, whether you're an athlete or whether you're a yogi working on self-transformation for your eternal being, breathing is going to help you. Well, breathing. Of course I'm breathing. I'm breathing 25,000 times a day. Why do I need to learn to breathe? I know how to breathe. When I introduced this into the dance world, a lot of people did not go for it. Says, I don't need to concentrate on breathing. You got to breathe. And that's why we like exercise, by the way. You know, they call the runner's high, that you can have this experience, or even some of the hot yoga is all the same thing. It forces you to breathe. It forces you to breathe in a way that's deeper than you normally do, which is the mundane way of breathing and same old, into an avenue that takes you and gives you energy that you haven't had before. And somehow that energy penetrates different parts of the body that have been closed before. And you have this experience, this transformative experience. And those of you who hear me that have had this experience, you know what I'm talking about, is that it's something that no one can tell you, no matter how they argue with you, you know what your experience is. Another way to have these experiences of transformation is what I call conscious breathing. It's called conscious breathing, as differentiated from the unconscious breathing. What happens to me is when I'm going out my day and something, whether I'm at an office sitting and I see that I have 215 emails I have to get through today, what happens first? I stop breathing. And so the body immediately starts to go into some type of flux. And then the cells aren't right. The blood, what is the blood doing? The blood's taking oxygen to your body. So the breath is so very important that you're bringing in this air into your body. You know, prana, you could think of the word as breath exercises, but also it's the word relates to energy or chi, the same thing. It's the same idea. And you notice that these two ancient languages, both the Chinese and the Hindi or Sanskrit, have these words prana and chi, which both refer to breath and both refer to energy. And yet, as you translate it into English, we just think of breath as breath and energy as being something else outside of that. And only now are we starting to begin to see that this holistic thing of breath is energy. Their energy is breath. And so I take this energy that's outside, it's everywhere. Here it is. It's there for all of us. We all use it. Every living creature on the planet is using this energy. And maybe all are using it in their optimal way, except perhaps the humans, because we have a choice. And our intellects have so many choices from which to work from, which is a great thing, except when I'm making the choices that are taking me away from that which is making me healthier. So again, I have to take care. I have to be full of care for myself, that I see that I observe myself, that I want to observe myself before I have to take care. And usually that happens when I have sickness or injury or any type of trauma. This is when I begin to wake up and say, how do I get out of this? How do I fix this? And what I have discovered for myself is, and seeing other people, that I don't want to have to go through that. Is there a way that I can behave or things that I can do to keep me from finding these extremes that I have to go all the way to, like, I have a disease before I learn the process of maybe breathing will really help me? So that's what we're going to do. So let's take another type of breath now. Let's do breathing exercise number two. And let's just call this energizing breath. So we just went from just breathing, which is just fine, to an energizing breath is how to take energy in. And you think about the word inhale, another word for it is inspiration. You're inspiring. So it has a double meaning. I'm inspired. I take in breath. I'm inspired. So sit up and you have this muscle just below your rib cage called diaphragm. And this is the muscle that is most associated with the breathing process. And it works unconsciously, but it can also work more optimally through conscious use. So as we inhale, we're engaging that. Inhaling, it expands, and the result is the tummy may expand a little bit and the lungs fill up with air. This is what happens naturally. So let's concentrate on just taking inhales, but really practice. As I often say to students who are learning dancing, one of the main reasons that you're not doing well is because you're afraid of what others are thinking, how you're going to look. Well, here's the news. No one's looking. I've learned that you can hide in plain sight because everyone, they're not really concerned with what I'm doing. They're concerned with what they're doing. And in today's world, it's even more so. They're not watching you. They're on their cell phones. Take this hour to put things into practice at a time for yourself. So find a good posture. I'm sitting on the floor, but you could just as easily sit in a chair. And I'm putting my back against a little something here. Just find a nice posture. Now, as I inhale, I use the diaphragm, the tummy expands. And then just let go. And again, let's just do it through the nose. A reason why to do it through the nose is, number one, the nose filters everything. The breath through the nose is a preferable way than breathing through the mouth. Although there are a couple notable exceptions, which I might get into later. And also what I've just learned recently, I don't know the scientific facts of this, but I've heard it from other sources, that you get 20% more oxygen, quality of oxygen, when it comes in through the nose rather than through the mouth. Everything I need to know is right underneath my nose. And that's where the breath takes place. So again, inhaling, expand, and just let go, exhale. Inhale, and exhale. So that's what we'll do. And let's do 8 of those in quick succession. Here we go. Very good. I don't know about you, but I could feel that already. The energy already going to my head as much more breath was going through my body than I'm normally doing because I was conscious of it. Imagine doing that 200 times amount of breath. And that's where you have to really be careful. You might get a little actually lightheaded because you're not that used to breathing so deeply. We're just shallow breathing, just eking out, just getting by. If my breathing is just getting by, how do I expect my accomplishments in life to be about the activities that I'm doing, about the assignment that I am given, about the workload that's on my desk, about the emails I have to answer? About whatever I have to do, breath is a necessary thing. So what breath can do for you is to optimize your life. And it's not that breath is the answer to that, but breath is part of this process to optimize. It's fuel. Learning about breath gives me time, gives me space. Breathing fills me. Let's try another breathing exercise. And this one is more related to pranayama. It's an old traditional energizing thing. And it's these really strong, I really want to concentrate on the abdomen and bringing in. And then exhale and then pull the navel in as far as you can. Exhaling, trying to maybe, I think of taking my navel and bringing it backward in and touch the back of the spine. So I inhale and isolate that. So this may be difficult, maybe not, I don't know. So I keep my head still, my shoulders still, everything still, and just try to find that spot just below the rib cage All right. Normally, you could do like 20 of those, 40 of those, any number of, you know, 108 of those, whatever you want. We'll just do 8. We'll stick with that as our number today. So again, sit tall. Get your spine back as far as you can. And we'll start. That's hardly anything. But you can see where that goes. And the main reason that you may not practice that is because it feels funny or you feel funny doing it. And that's just something to get used to. You can hide in plain sight because no one's watching. The only time I really have to be careful of what other people think is if it's going to disturb them in some way. So all I have to do is take care, be full of care, that my actions or words aren't harming anyone else or going to disturb anyone else. Otherwise, they're going to leave me in peace. And there, in that moment, I have space. I have the freedom to work on myself, to practice on myself. A really good place to practice that is just sitting in your car. Anytime you're in any place where your back is up against something, if you're in your job, if you're sitting at your job, and now that we have the phones, we can lay back. And I'm sure someone has done a study on this about how posture is really going down and people are having ailments related to our instruments, our electronics. Now that everything is a phone, you don't even need these big computers. You don't even have to sit at a desk anymore. So as things become easier, it also means there's less structure and more room for things to go wrong. So breathing is, again, one of these structures that help us to find some sense in ourselves. I really like the idea of being full of care, of taking care. I'm finding more and more that I like just taking that time just to take a breath. Don't be afraid of space. Now, that's another thing I'd like to get across to all of you. Don't be afraid of space. Of what do we do with the time? What do we do with the time? Breathing is a very good way to put in that time. A lot of the issues that we have are from traumas that we have when we're children. And a lot of times these breakthroughs that people have through in breath exercises happen when it touches some type of trauma and it breaks through. We're not just who we are. We have habits, we have likes and dislikes. And so many of these things are associated with things that may have happened to us a long, long time ago, back in our childhood, or any type of trauma that happens has a big effect on us. And it doesn't even have to be a trauma. It could just be having an experience that we don't like to have anymore. Like the sound of the ocean, you know, I'm pretty close to the ocean here. And some people find that soothing, but I can remember a friend who said, whatever you do, don't take the road along the ocean. And why not? He says, well, because it reminds me of a time when I was 8 years old, I almost drowned. So not all things have the same effect and the same responses on other people. We react differently. Let's try one more breath. And we've had just normal breathing. And then we've had kind of an energizing breath. These things are all over YouTube. You don't have to listen to me to find them. And then we have what we call a calming breath, like more associated with contemplation or meditation or just de-stressing yourself. And there it's a little more concentration on the exhalation rather than inhalation. And one that I often use is my counting, like a 4-count inhale, 4 counts of retaining the breath, and then maybe 8 counts of exhalation. So 4, 4 inhale, 4 counts to hold, 8 counts to exhale. Again, let's see, maybe we have time to get 8 of those in. Let's see, let's try. Inhale, hold, exhale. Simply repeat, inhale. A lot of times while I'm holding, I visualize myself absorbing the energy of that breath, exhale. A few more, inhale, hold, absorb. Let go of what you no longer need. Couple more, inhale, pause and absorb. Exhale, one more, inhale, absorb the energy of that breath. It's yours for the taking, absorb it all. Exhale, exhale that which you no longer need. There you are. Just a simple introduction to conscious breathing, a means of trying to dislodge perhaps things that are already lodged. You didn't start neutral. You didn't come here as a blank canvas. You came here with all your life experiences. Even the ability to pay attention for an hour is very, very challenging. Breath is one of these things which help us to release the things that have been lodged deeply within us that don't need to be held on to. I just don't even know that they're there. Breathing is not the destination, but it is a vehicle. Artie?
Thank you. That was very helpful. And so calming, really very calming and present. There's a couple of questions that have come in already, so let's start with them. The first question is, could you repeat technique 3? Is the out breathing when you move your belly to your spine?
Yes, yes. And, you know, in fact, the people who really, these hatha yogis that practice this, they pull in the belly so far and up into their rib cage that their belly disappears, taking it to the extreme. But we don't need to do that. So one more time, the third type is inhaling. The belly expands. And as you exhale, contraction through the belly all the way until it all goes out, trying to get every little bit of it out. And that's why I want to take more time on the exhalation.
Thank you. The second question is, recently I find myself holding my breath. It's not a conscious thing. I'm just on a phone call or meeting or just doing a task, and then I realize I'm not breathing. It's making me a little panicky. It seems at times when I'm not very happy or feeling down.
Welcome to the club. We live in a world where everyone is holding their breath because the outside influences are coming in. They're filtering through, and not just through my breath, they're coming through all my sense organs. What I'm seeing, what I'm hearing, all this is coming in. So I have to take care of what I'm allowing in. And so in today's world, where news travels so fast, it can happen in Tahiti, and we know about it in Washington in, you know, 2 minutes, because things travel so fast, and usually what's exciting, and with excitement goes stress, and then with stress comes no breathing. So the world is becoming faster and faster and faster. Just in order for me to maintain equality, I have to become slower. I have to become more still. And breathing is one of these things to give myself time. Breath gives you time. Breath gives you space. It's okay. We're all doing that. I'm even teaching this and I still find myself not doing it. Don't judge yourself or anything for it. Just use it as, oh, I'm so glad that I'm aware. I'm glad that it brought to my awareness. Now, what can I do about it? All you have to do is go on YouTube or wherever you want to go, and there's oodles and oodles of things to work on and experiment. Be full of care and take care. Use what you like. Don't take everything. Just take things that you like.
Thank you. Craig, the next question comes after a little sharing. The person is saying they love what you've been sharing and that they do try to be relaxed as much as they can be. But when those trauma moments that you mentioned earlier appear or come up, they find that their breathing is locked up. And the same happens for the body. Should they just continue to focus on breathing practices until it shifts, is the question. But I'd like to add something else. What other practices have you come across? There's the breathing. Are there any other things that you work with that have helped you through a process?
If you're following this this process of yoga, which most people get with the asanas, the postures, then breathing is the next step. But that's just the next step. You know, the next step would be withdrawing away, that they call pratyahara, is withdrawing your sense organs from the outside world, because I recognize it's a means of taking care. One of the reasons that I start breathing now, I'm not just breathing to overcome things that happened to me in the past. I'm also breathing to make space for the things that are yet to come. Because not everything's going to be all unicorns and rainbows coming to me. There's going to be things I need to face. Just through time, just through the body's aging and the finite nature of the human body, I'm going to be going into things and have experiences that I didn't feel I'm prepared for and that I don't necessarily like. But I do want to stay relevant. I want to stay as vital and vibrant as I possibly can. And this is why I set myself up, not just the breathing, but this pulling away. That's what the breathing starts to alert me to, that the breathing is giving me a space. And now with that space, what am I doing? And in the space, the natural result of this, of course, is what we call meditation. The breath of thought is meditation. It's the conscious breathing for the mind is meditation. And my mind and my intellect are getting relaxed and finding space because the meditation is giving space. That's the ultimate space giver. Breathing is just what we all can share because I'm in the body and we all recognize the limitations of the body. We all experience the conditions of the body. But where we stop is as we cross over from body to mind in this the consciousness part. And that's why I really, really can't stress enough the importance of having some type of a meditation or a contemplation practice.
Thank you. The next question, which of the four practice techniques would you utilize before getting into a meditation? For which purpose do you utilize which technique?
So for a quiet practice or a meditative practice, the calming type breath is what works best, where I'm just inhaling to take in energy. And then maybe even a retention of breath. I like to consciously visualize myself absorbing the energy of that breath right directly into the bloodstream all throughout the body. Or if I'm aware of a certain part of the body that needs more attention, taking a breath. And then as I exhale, just send all my thought energy towards that. And it works. I can send the energy, which is right through the bloodstream. This prana is going right through the bloodstream. I can direct it towards wherever I want it to go in the body. And what this becomes is something that yogis refer to as sending good wishes and powerful thoughts to others. I'm starting with myself. Let me just send that to myself. What do I need at this moment? Do I need calming? Let me send it. Okay, my problem may not be gone. The situation is here. But right now, I'm going to give myself a little energy in order to confront this problem. So I'm not going to retreat and run away and hide or deny that the problem exists. I'm going to recognize that the problem is there. And let's start off by breathing, because I'm going to do better. Whatever I'm doing, I'm going to do better if I create space with conscious breath.
Thank you. I'm going to come back to the meditation in a moment, but the next question is, does breath work help conditions like fibromyalgia?
I'm no expert in that, but I will say, of course, it's going to help. What it's going to do is going to give you space. And I have some experience with fibromyalgia, and lupus is one of my close family members suffered from that. And of course, that is a lot of trauma happening to the body. And when there's trauma happening to the body, even more space is necessary. In fact, the person who had this really began a very in-depth meditation routine as a means of dealing with the trauma of being in this situation. So I will say yes. Not that it's a cure-all. I don't like these type of cure-all type things that this will do this and that will do that. Guaranteed, take this pill and watch it go away. Is that it gives you space, and it makes me see things from a different perspective. And that's what's really important. And then if there's a new way to go, something else comes up, I'll have the ability to see it because I'm not being victimized at the moment. So even if I'm undergoing that and I'm experiencing pain, it's even more important to find space. You know how important it is to have a free moment of pain-free life. So yes, I would say yes to your question.
I think I would agree with you completely on that one. Absolutely. The next question is, how do you describe the space and how is it different from meditation?
Meditation is the exercise of creating space, not so much the goal. Meditation is just like breathing. So it's the same thing. It's a vehicle. Meditation and breath are the same. That you could call meditation the breath of consciousness. As it brings me to my true state. And this is something that is the real discovery as I begin to redefine who I am. And that I'm not looking for peace. I'm not learning to breathe so that I can find peace. I'm learning to breathe so I can unblock the peace that's already within me. It's already there, covered up by these experiences of my existence, layer upon layer. They may be as thin as a butterfly's wings and as transparent as that too. But if you put 20,000 of those on top of one another, it's still completely blocked. And so breathing and meditation are these processes of uncovering of what is there. So trust is number one. That's what the breathing and the meditation has given to me. The trust that working this process is going to end up that I'm going to have this discovery. And the real key is that we have to do this process. It might take 10 times, 20 times, 245,000 times. if that process is laborious, the 240,000 times one is not going to work. So is there a way that I can make this process enjoyable? That's the hope, is the key to it, is enjoy this process of uncovering. So number one is enjoyable because each conscious breath you take is bringing you closer to your destination. Each meditation that I have, each second that I have of making this effort to meditate is going to bring me closer to my destination. And okay, I can't sit for an hour, I fall asleep, or I get bored, or my foot hurts. Okay, 30 minutes. Oh no, 30, that's still too long. 10 minutes. Well, maybe sometimes. How about a minute? Even then, how about this? You drive a car, you come to a stoplight, you're sitting at that stoplight. How about meditating while you're looking at the red light just for the length of time that's there? You don't have to worry about going into la-la land because you're looking at the light. And when it turns color, that means you go. But I've given myself that 10 seconds, that 15 seconds, that 30 seconds of experimentation. And not only that, but I've created an opportunity for fun that I'm doing something more than saying, why can't that light turn? Or if that person in front of me would have gone just a little bit faster, I would have made it through the light, because I'm rushing to go somewhere else instead of where I am. Make it fun.
Thank you. And my last question this evening that's come through, you talked about having a positive or powerful thought, which is like a good wish for yourself. Isn't that wistful thinking? And how can it be powerful? Maybe positive, but how powerful?
I agree. You know, meditation is not wishful thinking. For example, I'm here where I am in the conditions that I have. I recognize the limitations that I have. I find limitation to be a great source of creativity. And so I recognize that all that's the state of affairs, but I have trust that I'm more than that. Let me begin to experiment. Maybe even the word trust seems like too much at this point, but would I like to change the way things are? Or am I going to just suffer on the way they are and say, well, that's my lot in life? So find something to read that's inspirational, or something that comes to you, or something that you hear. It doesn't have to be world altering. It just has to be something that seems right. Like I saw something that here in the States, it's going back to school time. Going to school is you learn something and then you put it into practice. And you could just reverse that the same way, you know, that I have an experience and then I learn something from my experience. I guess that's what it was. You learn and then you have experience. And then the other way around, you experience and then you learn. And that could be good or bad. So let me begin to become more of an influencer. That's a big word in today's world. I become an influencer of myself by taking care of what I let in, because every thought that I have, whether I'm watching a film or the news or just anything that's on the social media, let me be very, very aware and careful, take care of what I'm bringing in, because I'm full of care for myself. It's not about wishful thinking. There's been all these studies about how not to use social media at least an hour before you go to sleep, because it really affects your sleep pattern. And then, of course, because your sleep is not good, you're not going to have the energy through the day, and that becomes a dog chasing its tail. It gets worse and worse and worse, like a revolving door, until something happens. And I don't want that something happen to be I get sick or have an illness. I want that something happen to be, no, I recognize that I'm not satisfied with this, and let me start something new. Let me try to stop the old habit by creating a new thing, whatever it may be, humble in its nature. Like, is it possible that my original nature, my nature is peaceful? You know, kind of similar to how if you look at a three-year-old or a four-year-old, generally they're happier than adults. And that's their nature. And then that same person 40 years later, chances are they don't have that same enthusiasm and easy smile and smile towards strangers that they did when they were three and four. So yes, it is true. It's not wishful thinking. So use this as a premise. Use it as an experiment. Use it as a hypothesis. Don't take my word for it. And then like a good scientist, practice it to see if that hypothesis holds water or not.
Thank you so much for taking the extra time and sharing your insights. If you haven't already, do register to receive the weekly newsletter or a monthly newsletter. The weekly will tell you what's coming up that week. The monthly will also include some of the tools that we offer that are free. And all that's left for me to say is, Craig, thank you. Thank you so much for not just simply talking about it, but actually helping us to practice. And not just that, but also the benefits of it in a very practical way. And explaining how meditation is a mental breath too. So thank you very much. We look forward to having you back.
It's a pleasure.
People are coming in with their thank yous and wonderful talk and great talk and very helpful. So we look forward to having you with us again. Thank you so much.
It's inspiring. And you make one's inner space a little bit clearer and more spacious. So thanks a lot.
Thank you. Good night, everybody. Good night, Craig. Bye-bye.
Bye.